Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Well,
what happened?
Well, the audio apparently is not playing from our board because I just also, you know, we also just had our applause go off. So if it's working for everyone else and it's just not registering for us, everything happened in the right order. We got a lot of silence. Interesting. The board itself is just not playing audio for some reason.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Welcome to live radio.
Everybody, this is Simply D.
It's Jules. This is the Dynamic Show on Ninecom Media. Welcome to our show.
Yes. So tonight, you guys, it's open for discussion. You know, it's the last day of the month, and it has been quite the month. So, but we are also just finished our series last week, which means that this week we're going to be talking about, you know, kind of what we've learned throughout the series, the questions that you guys came up with that you had posed to us over the time that we were doing the series, which was like 6 weeks, actually, if you count the intro to the series. So you guys can count this show as the wrap up or as, you know, your normal open for discussion. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And we can, you know, have a good time. That's the goal for tonight. I actually had a new song I was going to play for you guys tonight, but that's not going to work out. So so we're just going to roll with it because that's just the kind of day it's been. So things going. Jules, what's going on with you? How was your weekend?
I had a breakdown. I cried over the weekend. From nothing. I mean, it's not nothing, but it is something. But nothing happened, per se. Is that weird? Yeah. It's just, can I just tell you, wedding planning is not my forte, nor is it fun, nor I will ever, do I want to do it again, ever. I mean, ever in my life. It was funny because I had the breakdown on Saturday. I went to go get a facial and I broke down at the facialist's office. And she was like, why are you crying? And I just I didn't know what else to say other than everything is so expensive. And I'm just so tired and so stressed out. And my skin is reacting, like, you know, from the stress. And on Sunday, I went to church and I talked to, six different brides. Either brides to be or new brides who just had their weddings, and we were just going over notes, and it was like, oh yeah, it seems you're right on time, that seems about right, and you know, and I'm not that bad, so I kind of felt better because some of these other couples, it's pretty funny what happens with wedding planning and the stress that it causes on the couple. And how one of my couple friends, the groom, was so mad at I guess they got into an argument over something, and something that had to do with the planning process. Usually it goes something like, you know, you don't help me make any decisions, or you don't do anything. That's what the bride says. And the husband or to be is like, well, you wanted to do it yourself. And then the bride is like, no, I wanted you to help me. You just give me opinions and on things I already did, but you don't help me. And the groom is like, but you didn't ask. And so anyway, it's one of those situations. And he was very upset. And on the day of the wedding, even, he was, instead of enjoying this beautiful day, you know, of matrimony, he was upset the entire day. And yeah, it was just kind of funny to me. It made me feel better.
I understand. I completely understand. So,
yeah. That was the entirety of my weekend. It was, and other than going to studio, which was also joyful. Ow. I really need a massage. Yes. But yeah, that was my weekend. How was your weekend?
My weekend was it was interesting. My daughter had a little cooking party over here. So her and a friend got together, and my wife was helping them cook, which means I was watching them cook. Because I taught my wife how to cook, and I've never seen her instruct anybody ever on how to cook. So there were a few things that I had to catch before they turned into tragedies that required stomach pumping. But overall, it was a really good experience. It was a good time. Definitely had fun. I kind of felt bad for my son a little bit because, you know, it was all about the girls, you know. So he was like, well, what am I going to do with my time? You know, then he thought it'd be kind of cool to document the whole experience. Well, apparently the girls didn't want to be on camera. So I had to teach him about respecting people's privacy with cameras. But what's going to be interesting is the day when she realizes, I wish I had taped it, you know, like, because my son is quick with a camera. He loves using his tablet to shoot video. And then, you know, like, I'm pretty sure for Christmas this year, he may be getting a camera because he takes it seriously. He really enjoys it. He tries to frame it. He tries to get the lighting right. He tries to do, you know, and all he did was he got the bug. One of the photographers who was shooting stuff for Intermix let him let my son use his really expensive camera. And my son just fell in love with it. So I've been talking to the photographer, and he's like, hey, anytime he wants to learn something new, I'll teach him. No problem, for free. It doesn't matter. I just love doing this. So I figured, well, let me get him something and see if he'll take care of it before I invest too much into what he likes to do. But my son loves anything that has to do with technology. Like, while his mother's still learning to use a new Chromebook that the school district gave him, my son is already all over it. Like, okay, no, it's over here. No, you do this. So it's fun watching. It was kind of fun watching my kids in their element over the weekend. And then Sunday, well, my mom came into town. And so she preached on Sunday, and it was definitely a really good experience, you know, just to see her in the pulpit preaching, because I hadn't seen it in a minute. But but overall, it was just a really cool family type weekend. I got to spend time with my family this weekend, but I did a whole lot of work this weekend. So I think I've been working so hard I got sick. So my voice is a little off. My energy level is, you know, up and down. But overall, man, it was a really cool weekend. And you know, let me just say, I could never work in the HR department.
Hey.
Dealing with people and stuff. Like, it's funny because I love finding talent, I love molding talent, all that kind of stuff. But right now, there's just so much going on and so many decisions I have to make that I think that process is making me ill, you know. So but thank God for my wife, because I'm able to say, because we both had the most adventurously hard day, you know, today. But we got, you know, she came home, we sat on the couches, and we just talked about our days. But it wasn't like complaining. It was just like, you know, talking to somebody who understands, you know, what you go through. And then because I was explaining to her, I said, I have some really difficult decisions to make over the next couple of weeks. And I have to figure out how to make these decisions in the way that's going to motivate people forward as opposed to stunt their growth. You know, it's not like saying, hey, you know, for some reason, it'd be easier for me to decide, you know, if someone passes away, cremation or burial. You know, there's some things that go into that that say, oh, okay, well, this is the choice, you know, but I spend a lot of time helping people grow. So sometimes to help people grow, you got to be, you know, stern. Other times you have to give a little so they can actually grow into that new space you gave them. But I'm at a really interesting point right now. So, you know, so my wife, my friend Sincere and Jules are all like, give them what they deserve. Right. See, it's usually the approach that I, you know, so my wife was straight on her. She had, you know, not had the best day either. So she's straight on there. Hey, just give them what they deserve, you know. You know,
they earned it.
They earned it. Just say it like it is. And she said, you know, sometimes it's okay to go with your A thought. I said, oh, I know. I said, in this one, it's not so much a matter of, you know, sometimes you make those decisions where it's not so much a matter of what you say, it's about how you say it, right?
Actually, and, most of the time it's that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, but sometimes I just omit certain things because I know people don't take stuff well all the time, you know. So I'm like, I will just leave that part out, you know. They'll get it when I just say this, you know. So it works, you know. Sometimes you can't be like, you know what, the reason this happened is because you messed it up, not because somebody else, because you messed it up. It's just on you, you know. And I used to do that a lot when I was younger. That conversation, it didn't go well, you know. So matter of fact, a couple of years ago, because, you know, that's how I was taught. It's like, you know what, tell it like it is, you know. And I wasn't really taught about tact until I got older. But I remember my mom had called me because she was telling me a couple of years ago about how her job was retraining all of the managers to have a different way of pointing out flaws in the work performance of people, you know. And she said, there's always another level of patience, baby. There's always another level, you know, because now you're, instead of saying you over there in seat number two in the second row, you're the reason why this thing is not being done on time. And you're the reason we're over budget, you know, right? As opposed to doing that, you know, we as a unit, we're having trouble staying on budget and we're just not meeting our goals. You know, does anyone have any suggestions on, you know, like on how we can improve our goals? Now, everybody in the spot's probably looking at person number two in row number two, right? But no one's saying, well, if we just get rid of that one, we'll be fine, you know?
Sometimes you need to. No, I'm kidding.
You do, but that's the point where you get called in because nothing has worked. But they give people so much more. You know, it's kind of that same philosophy as no one loses when you're playing sports as a kid. You know, it's like everybody gets a trophy. Everybody, I'm like,
yeah, I don't believe in that.
That wasn't how I was raised. You know, like, oh, you lost, baby. Well, here's a consolation ice cream, but you didn't get the trophy. You know, you know.
Here's a 57th place trophy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Who's going to pay for all that? You know what I mean? Like, why would you? Well, it was great that you participated. You know how much I pay for that uniform? Are you talking about participating? You know, like, you know, hey, if you had a good time out in the field and you had a great. But don't, you know, don't make the person feel like they won or that they did their, like they were up there equal to the people who beat them. Because they were not in their performance. They were not. They may have tried very hard. They may have done their best, and we can give them a little, you know, great season. You know, glad you had a good season in terms of, you know, you did your best award or party. But they never gave awards out for that unless it was what was that, sportsmanship? Because you could be on a losing team and be, you know, a great sportsmanship
for sure.
Right. But that was about it. You know, there was, you know, and then of course there's always a team pizza party whether you won or lost. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, but that's just to keep people motivated. But don't give them a trophy to say at least you showed up. They were gonna show up. I paid for the doggone uniform. What they else? What? No. Of course they're showing up. We gonna get that uniform. Mm-mm. Why is your uniform white when you wear the all white uniform playing in the grass? Why is it? Because you ain't trying.
Exactly.
So, oh man. Oh, so what else is going on? So I was talking to some people today, and especially on Saturday and Friday. Was Friday, I went and had a meeting that started at 6:30, 7 o'clock. We didn't leave the location till almost 12 o'clock at night. And it was interesting because, you know, all the conversations that came up, like we, you know, I was there doing business and, you know, and for, you know, finally I was actually able to go there, have everything I needed and stay on point. But, you know, which those who, you know, if you don't know me, I normally do business in my head. So getting the paperwork together, showing the plan, the process, not always the easiest thing for me to do, but, but my wife, it's a whole nother thing. So she found a way to break our company down into sections. And then, you know, which is supposed to be how you're supposed to do it anyway, but she broke it down to sections. She had a progress, you know, it was fantastic. And then I said, well, we don't have to take all that, you know, and we'll rebuild it from scratch anyway for our next, you know, for what's coming up for us next. But she was able to take a look at at everything we were doing. So I was able to go in, and after sitting and talking to my wife for a while, I was able to go in and feel very confident knowing that exactly where we were with each thing that we're doing. And, you know, and I was actually kind of proud of myself, you know, just looking at, you know, all the stuff that I was able to get out of my head and onto the page. Because, again, that doesn't happen very often.
That is a feat.
So, and it was funny, too, because as we walked out the door, my wife said, what about, and she talked about one of my other companies. And I said, oh, my God. We were so busy trying to get all the intermixed stuff together that we forgot all about the other stuff that I actually do. So she said, well, we just won't bring it up. I said, but the other company is how these people know us. She's like, oh, yeah, well, if they ask, you have answers. It's in your head. So, but anyway, so but while we're there, of course, I don't know how this happened, but of course, the conversation was very, you know, wasn't on business as much as it was on life, love, and relationships.
Shocker.
I was like, what in the heck? Why did we work so hard? They're like, you know, and then, Tony says, well, why are business meetings so hard for you? It's not the meeting, Tony, that's hard so much as I set particular goals when I go into meetings. And because I know that not only am I talking business, but I'm also the pitch man. I'm the person who can, what's how sincere say it? I'm the person who makes it where if you find a flaw, I can make that flaw poof disappear. When I go into meetings and stuff, a lot of times I already know what kind of questions people are going to ask, and I already know how to not only answer those questions, but how to give them an understanding that normally would not necessarily always be accepted by anybody else. You know, but I take people, but the job is to. Because of the property intermixes and because of some of the other things that I do, you have to take the journey. You can't just ask just about the facts. The facts are nice. I'm not going to lie. But if people can't take the journey with you, if they can't really get to see what we've seen and see how we do certain things, then for them, it's not going to. They're not going to hear the whole. They're not going to receive the whole story or the whole journey. And if they don't receive the whole journey, then they may not end up looking to be going in the same direction we're going. Mm-hmm. And I don't do well with people who don't want to move the same way we're moving. It's one thing if you have a way to improve how we're doing things. It's another thing to say, oh well, my goal for you is this. Nope. So I'm the PR guy too. And a lot of times it's hard to be, you don't want to be the PR person when you're going into a business meeting, you know, but sometimes it can't be helped. So you got to go do it. But anyway, we ended up talking about life, love, relationships. We talked about heartache and pain, and we talked about marriage, you know, the process of, and, you know, how to make it through and what are some of the breaking points and this, that, and the other. And then I got asked a very interesting question, and I always have, like, there's a quick gut reaction answer, and then there's the one that you go home and you think about for a minute. You're like, hmm. Mm-hmm. So the question was, if you're in a good, is it possible to be in a good relationship and still it not be a good relationship for you?
What do you mean?
Well, exactly. You know, like, yeah, for you. Like, so can you be in what is considered, quote unquote, a good relationship? Well, there was two questions. One is, how do you define a healthy relationship? But that question came after the, can you be in a good relationship that just doesn't, you know, that isn't good for you? Like, can you be in a relationship where you can say everything is great, but it's just not, you know, at least when you look at it, it says it meets all the check marks, but it's not good for you, you know? And I thought that was a very, not only deep questions, you know, but, and plus, you know, you're still in a meeting, so you're kind of trying to figure out, am I being tested? You know, because it happens at church too. You know, when you preach and stuff, people try to test your knowledge of scripture, or they try to test your integrity, or more now, people try to test your sense of reality. You know, versus, you know, are you living in some kind of made up fantasy world where everything is great and everything is beautiful and we can all make it through? Somebody tried to tell me this weekend that. You know, most people are not good people, and they don't want to be good people because they don't care about being good. And they can't change. I said, no. There's a difference between can't and won't, and haven't had opportunities provided to them in their language to change. And so he said, well, no, some people are just, you know, he said, well, you're full of hope, but most people don't have that. Man, I don't believe people are going to change like that. I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, you know, because that's my area. That's why I'm like, you can't tell me that people are not going to, you know, can't change. But if you don't give them the opportunity, because it's one thing to preach at somebody, tell somebody this, that, and the other. It's another to actually show them in a language they understand and to actually congratulate them when they actually show some progress. It may not be what you imagine the progress should be, but you should reward them and show them, even if it's like, good job, man. Normally, man, you'd have hit them 7 times, you know, 7 seconds earlier than you did. So at least you thought about it before you hit them this time. You know, that's an improvement. You know what I mean? But it is improvement. That's how they work with me. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know. Oh, man. But you got to find those moments in people's lives where you can actually say, hey, you know, you did a good job there. Whatever. Most people are not good at recognizing other people's achievements, you know, and congratulating them for them, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, most people don't know how to compliment, like genuine compliment. A lot of people don't because they're too selfish.
Yeah, that's true. But We don't necessarily live in a compliment world anymore. We live in a world where people like, you are good based on what society says is the requirements for your, you know, location, ethnicity, and if you meet certain stereotypes that go into whatever, because your job is your identity, or then if your job is a good job, but you still can't impress me with it, then it's not even. You know, then we feel sorry for you, you know, type of thing. So there's a lot of written and unwritten rules to what makes somebody worth congratulating. I'm like, that's too much work. You did a good job though. Thanks. You know, congratulations. So anyway, I thought I would pose this question to you guys. The first one that, you know, I was asked was, is it possible to be in a healthy relationship and it just not be, you know, good to you, good for you, you know, and in what, well, I just want to hear your yeses and nos and whys. Why would you say that? Why do you give the answer you give? So we'll give that a couple of minutes before we go into the next question. Meanwhile, Jules, what do you think of it?
Well, it depends how you define good for you. Like, for instance, you could be in a relationship where you're completely happy because of what the other person provides for you.
Mm-hmm.
You could be happy with the quality of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm thinking of, like, not necessarily gold digger, but, you know, somebody who wants to have, excuse me. Somebody who wants to have the luxuries of life and that kind of lifestyle, and the person that they provides that for them. But the relationship, is it fulfilling in other ways? And in that way, is it good for you? You know, like, do you actually genuinely love the person for who they are, not what they give or provide for you? And then there's also complete opposite of, you know, they might not be able to provide A, B, and C, but you love them anyway. So that question is kind of, it depends on how you define, in my opinion, I think it's very subjective on how you define what is good for you.
Well, true that. I mean, you know, everybody's got a different definition of what they're looking for. So Stephanie said, you know, she was in a relationship. I'm going to paraphrase this. She was in a relationship once, and they were deeply in love with each other and all of the great things that come with that, you know, great time hanging out. Great time making ice cream because making it together meant they had to spend more time together. And of course there was definitely heat in the bedroom, she says. But she said, when she was, you know, although they were really happy and everything was great, she didn't feel fulfilled. So here's how it worked. So he worked at a job that required that he spend a week and a half every 2 months overseas because of, you know, he was in some kind of technology sales or development thing or whatever. Anyway, so I know she's trying to write in the, you know how every industry has an abbreviation for the things they do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out which one she's trying to use. She didn't feel like she just didn't feel fulfilled. She felt like there were too many opportunities for him to find somebody, fall in love with somebody else. So she wanted to get married, and he thought that everything was being rushed too much because he was, you know, just because of her fear versus her security. Mm-hmm. And So it was a great relationship, but it wasn't good for her. It was great when they were together, but it was like she was fear stricken when he was apart from her. Now, one thing I can say about this, Stephanie, is this is not only this is very, 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 very common because I have more than one client right now dealing with this exact same issue. It's about the same setup. I have one. I got this one where anytime either one of them are separate from the other one, like on a trip with friends or whatever, they lose total trust in each other. Almost every time. Like, it's amazing. I mean, now we've had great progress. We're getting way, way better than what we used to be, you know, than what it used to be. Because every time one went on a trip without the other, whether it was with friends or for work or whatever, no matter what it was, there was always a breakup in the air. Hmm. And so I had to sit them. So we all of us got together. We sat down, and I asked them, why don't you trust each other? And basically it came down to this. I'm sorry, I'm reading at the same time. Some of this stuff is funny. But it came down to both of them see themselves in the other person. And they know how they used to be. Therefore, they have a hard time trusting the one that's in front of them now because they really had issues trusting themselves, or at least now they recognize how they were in their past, so they're afraid their past is going to catch up to them because in some way they feel like it's what they're owed based on how they treated the people they used to be with, you know? And
it's like
I said,
karma.
Yeah, like karma. And you know, like if you see somebody who was, you know, like if you're with somebody who was a lot like you, a lot of the times, even though that can make for a really, you know, it can make a good relationship because you might differ in the areas that matter. But but there was, especially over the last, I'm going to say decade, you know, somewhere between the last 10 and 20 years, because I forget, we're in 2015 now. But so maybe ever since 1994, 1995, okay, everybody got way more promiscuous than they used to be, right? So what happened, because we were looking this up for school related for another project that I'm working on, right? So, but in 1995, something happened where people just started which happened to be the year I graduated, so that was really something. But people started really just trying to discover their sexuality. They were out there. They were just, you know, and it was crazy. I mean, it's not to say that there weren't people before that, but the numbers spiked. Like, they just started going straight up in 1995. So what happened?
Because of Madonna?
It's probably because her book came out when? 1997? Somewhere around there? 1994? Somewhere around there. Arsenio Hall show was still on, so no, it had to be before that. God, I remember he was losing his mind with that when that book came out that she did.
Mm.
And I heard an interview recently where somebody was saying, man, you know, she was such a pioneer to come out with that kind of book in the time that she did it. And I'm like, she put a Coke bottle in there. I've never seen the book, but that's the one everybody just, you know, it's one of the things people kept talking about. And Arsenio brought it up on his show. I mean, what you did with that Coke bottle, I mean, it was, you know, incredible. I'm like, Arsenio.
Calm down.
I stayed up for this. Anyway, so.
I mean, they do a lot more in Thailand. Just
yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I've heard. Because somebody had to explain to me the clear table thing. So,
ping pong. That's
huh?
Ping pong is all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are people who actually, well, in Japan and other places, they use bananas. And they shoot them.
Let's just not. Let's
not. Hey, you're the one who took us across the ocean.
And I very much regret it, right? Yeah.
Anyway, so they call it a dexterity test, actually, that one. So anyway, are you kidding me? Anyway, the thing is, so they had this major trust issue where, and they've been together for, you know, just a little while, but they had this crazy trust issue and they had broken up. They were apart for many, many years. They got back together and realized that they still just have this incredible draw to each other. But the trust is still not there. You know, it's something is going on where if they are not just at work or at home, they have a complete, you know, trust meltdown. It's like, well, where are you at? Well, how come I can't be with you? Well, how come you want to go without me? Well, what are you talking about? You're talking about me, aren't you? Well, what are you saying about me? I'm with my family. Well, yeah, but how come you don't want me around your family? You know, like, I'm like.
And
I'm
they do this to each other constantly back and forth?
Pretty much.
That is so tiring.
Pretty much. But it's more on, okay, it like, because I talk more to one than I do to the other, but I ended up dealing with both, right? I've said all I can say other than one side does do it quite a bit more based on their own history. And then, and there's a ultimate image of what the relationship should be that has not yet been shared with the other half of this team. So what tends to happen, and this is why a lot of the mistrust and stuff happens in most relationships anyway, you know, because me and my wife, we had our little, you know, issues and stuff with it. But it goes something like, if I don't keep my eye on you, somebody else is going to steal you from me. And then that's going to piss me off and I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I know that I'm not good enough for you. I don't care what anybody says. Okay, now, this is what people are often saying to themselves. But then they hide it underneath a whole bunch of, I'll do this for you, and I'll do that for you, and I'll do this for you. But in exchange, I want you just to be available to me more than anybody else in the world. And it will suck you dry. So I had to put them together because I couldn't solve it from one person's side. It was not going to work just from one person's side. I could deal with, you know, that person's almost – anyway, I could deal with it from that person's issue and stuff, but I could not deal with it as a whole. So now what made it even more interesting is the other half of the equation didn't even want to go into counseling because the culture basically the response was
– there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong, and if there is something wrong, we should always be able to solve our own problems. We should never have to go get out help because go get outside help. So I said, you might as well convince the person that a neutral party might be good, because the amount of money you're going to spend trying to solve it from just your side, and you're trying to basically pay me to teach you how to help her solve the issue she has with you and that you have with her.
Impossible.
Yeah. So if you're having a bad day, everything that you do and that she does is going to ultimately affect the whole thing, because they don't want to talk. Now, at the beginning of the year, y'all, just to give you all a little insight, I had about 6 couples pretty much going through different variations of this same thing. Because the one thing that has spiked more than sexual promiscuity and stuff like that is lack of trust. As soon as people found out that they can start dating on the internet, they can just hook up. There are sites that are just meant for hooking up. People always talk about that one where you swipe left or swipe right, but there are so many more even before that. That, you know, this one just became more commercial. But Tinder, I think is what. Yeah, Tinder. So, but there's so many of those that you can literally go online and find somebody who's willing to do you. You know, you can put a radius around your location so you can say, oh, okay, within 10 miles. Oh, within 5 miles, I can get with so-and-so.
Yep.
So it's so simple now that the people think that they have lost their ability. They have lost or are losing their ability to trust the people that are right in front of them. So getting to know your character is way different. Like, oh, well, you know, like I trust you with money and I can trust you with this and that, but I don't trust you with my heart, you know, and I don't trust you to, you know, be faithful. Why would you, you know, look at you. One of the sessions I had, I think it was like in April. Yeah, it had to be in April. The person said, well, look at you and look at me. Of course you're going to cheat on me if I don't keep my eye on you.
Huh?
I was like, oh my gosh. So... now, I'm going to tell you guys, the difference between a therapist and a life coach is this. I can say, have you lost your damn mind? Why would you be with somebody you can't trust? Well, because, are you saying that you're stupid? Well, no. So you're going to choose somebody that you have to keep your eye on like they're your child, or you're trying to be with another adult. So then why would you put yourself through that? If you don't trust the person, just say, hey, you know what? I don't trust you. And because of that, I can't be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think the problem with people like that is not so much that they don't trust that person because of who they are, but they don't trust that person because they don't trust anyone.
Well, exactly. But until they recognize it, they're going to continue to fall into that pattern.
Oh, and so, they don't even recognize it? Oh, then that's
no. Okay. Yeah. See, most people have never been told that they have trust issues. They're the ones who usually tell you. They're usually the ones who say, hey, you know, I have trust issues. But, okay, so because my first question, people say I have trust issues. Okay, well, who do you trust? Well, I trust my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you trust her completely. Well, you know, kind of. Well, no, there's either completely or not completely. In what areas do you not trust your mother completely? See, you can work through that process. That's a process that can be worked through. But when people say, well, you know, first off, I believe that anybody who says I need help is smart enough to recognize that something's wrong.
For
right?
Sure.
Right. But then they come in and then people are, a lot of times therapists don't talk to your intelligence. They talk to your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I like to talk to people's intelligence and their emotion. So, like, you're not a dummy, but you're coming in here and you want me to believe you are one. And I know you're not. You know, and like one of my clients the other day actually said, you know what? I'm so glad that because before he started talking to me, he had like 3 or 4 therapists. And matter of fact, when he first started talking to me, he had 2
mm-hmm.
and a psychic. So I know that that people really go out there, they're desperate. They're looking for something that's going to help them feel better. And I understand that desperate need to feel better, but you're not even sure what's wrong. So everybody else tries saying, well, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? I say, look, you know what? It's not their fault. It's your fault. Straight up. Thank you so much for being honest with me. No, I'm just going to be honest with you because you're not coming to me for me to coddle you and for me to just make a bunch of money off you. You know, so let's just be real. It's your fault. Well, I don't know why they treat me this way. Because you let them. That's usually the conversation I have with the girls. But I don't know why he does this to me. I just feel like I'm no longer who I used to be. Well, that's your fault. What? I say, go back and listen to episode, what was it? Because I had a list of episodes when we say this all the time. We say, look, men will conform to whatever the woman requires of him.
Yep.
We say it all the time.
Boundaries that you set is what they're going to live in.
Conform to, yep. So, well, I just don't know why he just talks to me this way. Because you let him.
Mm-hmm.
Or because you set the standard. Like, the moment you stop yelling at somebody and they keep yelling is the moment they look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I don't yell. And I don't get into ugly yelling arguments. Because A, because I used to have a really bad temper, and I recognize that that's probably not the road to recovery. And then one day, somebody I respect really, you know, a lot told me, a man who feels the need to yell to get his point across is not anywhere near intelligent, because he's got to yell to get his point across.
Mm. So true.
And he said, but I was like, how did you start and end the phrase the same way? And yet I learned so much. I just learned so much. You know, the man that yells to get his point across is not intelligent because he had to yell to get his point across. And he said, don't let anybody make you dumb down to their level. Don't do that because you're worth more than that. And so every once in a while, I'll see him at church or something, and I say, how did you, you know, like I don't know how that lasted so long, because I've met people who just make me want to choke them, you know. But yet I refuse to yell at, you know, even when like I'm upset with my wife or whatever. The only time I will raise my voice is when I'm trying to get my kids to understand who has the power in the situation. But best believe they're not yelling back.
Oh, heck, you know. You know, I wish they would try.
It'd be a really futile attempt with a very short. The outcome would not take as long as it took them to open their mouth to phrase the first word. So anyway, that's kind of how, you know, so the weekend, like I said, the weekend was all about life, love, and relationships. Although it's just a lot of questions about, you know, how do you know you're in a good relationship? What is a healthy relationship? You know, which seemed to be, and then that one stopped everybody from talking. Everybody was waiting for an answer. But then I found out later on that people who, you know, there are people who, so I went to meet with one person, but people who knew she was going to meet with me started listening to old episodes of the show. So they said, ask this, ask this, ask this. I'm like, why don't they just call into the show? You know, or, you know,
have a number.
Well, it was funny because my daughter was even at school today, and they had time in the computer lab. And so she finished her work and stuff. So she's like, well, let me just see where my daddy, you know, if my daddy's really popular as I think he is. This is how she phrased her whole thought process. Let me just see if my daddy's as popular as, you know, as I think he is. Because she came home and told me about this. She said, Daddy, you're a star. I said, baby, what are you talking about? She said, me, I went on the thing, and then I was on Firefox, Daddy. So she doesn't understand yet that these are different, you know, browsers, right? She doesn't know. She's like, I wasn't on Google. I was on Firefox. And I typed in Intermix, and all this stuff came up. Daddy, you had, like, for one of your shows, Daddy, 84,000 people. She said, hold on, I wrote it down. And she had the exact number of people who downloaded and listened to a particular episode. She said, I only listened to the first, Daddy, because I wasn't sure what the rating for the show was or if I can listen to the whole show, because I know you talk to a lot of adults on your show. But I just wanted to see, you know, so I heard the song and I heard me and my brother, you know, and, you know, the beginning of the song. And then, Daddy, I heard one of your songs on the radio and my friends were listening and it was, it, Daddy, you're famous.
She's so cute. I was so tickled,
you know. But at the same, but the first thing someone when she came in was, Daddy, basically, long story short, some girl is trying to provoke my daughter into fighting her at school. I told my daughter, I said, first off, that's not what I told her. See, Auntie Jules will get you kicked out of school. It's okay though, because that means she's volunteering to tutor you till you get to graduate. But no, what I told her was, anybody's going to get in your face and call you a whole bunch of bad words and stuff like that, because my daughter was like waiting and watching and seeing what she was going to do. So anybody's going to do that, technically now in today's society, that's called bullying. So you can just take that to the front office and that person can take a 3-day trip home, you know, take a 3-day vacation at home, you know, because bullying has a high, you know, has a high penalty for it, right? And I said, plus she crossed the room to get in your face just to cuss at you. I said, that's just definitely bullying.
Where's the teacher at?
That's the thing. I have no idea. But see, the girl behind the girl that came to my daughter was the girl that tried to fight my daughter last year, right? So now that girl knows to stay away from my daughter. So in staying away from my daughter, she's found somebody else
to do her dirty work,
right? And so I told her, I said, see, what you have to understand, baby, is this. Now, if someone swings at you or puts you in a position where you feel like you're not going to be able to get out without fighting, then you have my permission to knock their block off. I said, but right now they're challenging you. I said, but what you have to do is be smarter than them, because we already know that you can fight. That's not the issue. The issue is, can you make them not even want to be near you? Right? I said, you can use the rules that the school has put in place to not only protect yourself, but to make others think that you're so much smarter than them that they can't, that there's just no way to win other than to try to do something that's going to get them kicked out of school. Mm-hmm. So I said, so what you do is you talk to your counselor tomorrow morning and say, hey, I had this incident, this happened. I just wanted to make sure it was on record. I said, because anybody who knows the rules knows how to use the rules to their advantage in any situation. Because the moment that girl said all those things to you, what you should have said is this. Well, technically, what you just did is bullying. Technically, if I go tell the counselor, you will technically be sent home for 3 days. And your mama will technically tear you up. So I won't have to lay a hand on you, technically.
Right? Just saying.
Just saying, right? Because either way, you're getting a beat down. It only have to come from me. I just started it. You know? She's like, how'd you think of that? I said, because Daddy knows the rule. So she was actually, you know, because at first she was just excited that she got into the situation and didn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how did she handle it?
She just stood there. She let the girl say what she's gonna say, and my baby, she just didn't even wink. She didn't wink. Didn't bat an eye. She's like, okay. Because what she recognized, what she recognized behind her was the girl who was starting trouble. That's what she said, and that girl was looking, and that girl was looking my daughter right in the eye, staring at her, trying to see if she can get her to react. I said, if they want
First
you.
First of all,
fight.
I thought that girl got expelled.
No, she got suspended twice in 2 weeks. So that was a whole different situation. But yeah, because I said before I go up there and do it my way, I need you to make sure that everything that's happening is documented, because they don't want to deal with me. And I know it, because they've actually said, sir, we're going to do everything we can to make sure you don't have to come back up here again. Because the same night, now this is a little bit of power. The same night that the girl came back and tried my daughter for a second time, there happened to be an open house at my son's school. It was a kind of fundraiser and all that kind of stuff. The mayor was there, right? The principal who was trying, the principal tried her hardest not to have me get to meet the mayor, especially after freshly dealing with my daughter's, you know, issue at the school, especially because they handled it slower than they needed to. So my daughter said, "Daddy, is that the mayor? Don't you know the mayor?" "Well, yes, I do." "Can we go talk to him? I want to get a picture." "Well, yes, we can." We went over there, took some press photos with the mayor, me and my daughter, and all that kind of stuff. You know, my daughter was super excited to meet somebody in politics, you know, and all that kind of stuff. She hadn't really been thinking about the fight ever since I said, "I handled it, don't worry about it." But the principal hovered right there and did not leave because I started saying, "So what do you think of the school and how things have been handled in the schools lately?" Ever since then, "No, we'll take care of it, sir. Don't even worry about it," because they don't want a problem with me. And I told my daughter, I said, "Look, I told her today, because I needed her to also understand that if I fight for you, I'm going to win." I said, "That's just what it is." So
you sound like Larry H. Parker.
Yeah, no, but I laid it out for her today. I said, "Look, I said I'm telling you exactly what it is." I said, "I've never got into a fight that I did not win, because most of the fights I was in were life and death fights." I said, "Whether they're verbal or whether you know, in terms of, you know, like political or whatever, or they're or physical. Now the physical ones don't usually involve a knife, a gun, or something. So if I'm here, you know, but I told her, so I said, "Look, I'm used to defending you. I'm used to defending your brother." I said, I fought for you. I fought for your brother. I fought for your mom. And I even fought for Jules." I said, and half these things, the only person who witnessed most of this stuff was my wife. I said, "And I've gone to the table for each and every person that matters to me. So you best believe if I have to get back up there and handle this for you, I'm going to handle it. But you do your part before I do mine." You know, and she's like, "Okay, Daddy, I'm going to learn all the rules so I can make sure that I know how to deal with this stuff." So I said, "That's just who I am. That's just what it's going to, that's what it's going to be. This has nothing to do with my with being celebrity or whatever. This is how I've always rolled." So if I'm getting ready to jump in, you know, to handle something, you got to understand, do your part and I'll do mine. You know, and my wife was over there like, yep. And when I went down the list, I said, "I did it for my brother, my sister." I said, even when my sister wasn't, I did it for my sister. You know what I mean? I show up. And I said, whether I want to or not, I show up. You know, so my wife, well, you know, my wife, anytime she hears that part of me come out, it's a. Yeah, pretty much. You do with such an awful version of that, but yes. Yes. It's too girly for you. I know. It's okay. We have our limits. We all have our limits. So anyway, so what is the definition of a healthy relationship, Jules?
I think it's when it's well-balanced and supportive. Because obviously, when I say well-balanced, it doesn't mean each person is exact, you know, the couple, man and wife, is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, same traits, same strengths, same weaknesses. I mean, it can work, but when I say well-balanced, it means when one person has a weakness and the other person has the strength in the same thing, they support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, whatever comes our way, it's life. You know, one person's good at planning and the other one isn't. Yeah, one person is punctual, the other one isn't, you know.
Which part do you keep letting go to these questions?
Just saying. This isn't about me. Just saying.
I'm like, this is not working out well for you with this example.
Anyway. Supporting the other person because you are one body, you're one unit, and not seeing it as two individuals just deciding to coexist. that's not a healthy relationship to me. It's when you are, yes, individually strong in yourself, but at the same time, you have decided and made that choice to become one solid unit. And, you know, you support each other to become stronger and grow. And, you know, you share your dreams and vision and follow through. I think that is a healthy relationship. Because I know some other couples who have been together 10 years or close to that, and they just kind of are like roommates.
And, oh, yeah. I know.
You know, they don't really talk much about, you know, they don't really want to get to know what the other person is thinking or is now, you know, how they're growing or what their new dream and visions for themselves are. You know, they don't have those kind of talks. It's just, are you hungry? Okay, let's go eat. Okay, let's go to bed. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Or sometimes they don't even say anything at the dinner table or any, you know, and it's sad that I see this all the time. You know, instead of talking over a meal, this is something that's so important to me. And mm-hmm. I'm going to enforce to death in my household is you do not pull out your phone or any other media device while at the dinner table. Or, you know, while the family is having a meal together, you look at each other's faces and you talk and you converse and you, you know, get to know the other person on a deeper level, even through a meal, because we're so busy every other time that that's, I think it's just such a rare and important moment for, especially for kids nowadays. And I was just, you know, every time I go out to eat somewhere, I always see parents and their kids, and the kids are always on either an iPad or a phone, either playing something or watching something, and nobody's talking. And it really saddens me. So I don't know how it turned into a PSA about that. But yes, getting to know the other person, even when you've known each other for 20 plus years, because everybody's always growing and changing. And I think it's important to constantly, it's like a constant homework that you want to do. My husband, what is my wife thinking of for 5 years down the line? What, you know, did anything change? What is her favorite color now? Or what is, you know, just asking questions. So not just coexisting.
Okay. So I got a few of these here for that. Okay. So one person says, what's hard is that most people's lives don't change much at all anymore. They're not filled with as much adventure or creativity. So I was like, how did you spell that? Okay. They're not filled with as much adventure or creativity. So how would you enact your dinner time conversation if yesterday is just like today and tomorrow's going to be the same? That's an actually interesting question.
That is an interesting question. It's true. I mean, yeah, if you're having dinner every night and then nothing different changed from Monday through Tuesday through Wednesday through Thursday.
Yeah.
It's true. It is. It's going to be mundane. Like, so, you know, question A is going to get answer B. Question C is going to get answer B. You know, I understand that. But if it is something that is important to you, I think even if you have the same conversation over and over, I don't know. To me, I just you could ask about how the day went. You know, you could talk about politics. You could talk about what's going on in the world. You could talk about other things other than just, you know, just the two of you. Because, yeah, your world, you know, in your immediate vicinity might not be changing every single day, but the world around you is, and things are changing and things are growing and things are shifting and stuff is happening, and you can talk about that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, how is our relationship doing today? You know, how is your goal different from yesterday to today? It doesn't necessarily have to be about that, but just the getting into the habit of talking to each other face to face, eye to eye, as opposed to looking, you know, just sitting there and sharing the same air, but pretending the other person's not even there because you're so involved in just another device. That is where I don't like.
for I just love the fact that you ended that with that is where I don't like.
What I don't like.
Okay. Jennifer says, what I have found is what I have found when it comes down to the silence at the dinner table thing is that it feels more like people are recovering from their day and they're looking for a moment to themselves. But the constant activity of traffic and the constant demands that are on us in our workplace, it's almost like coming home and or going out is just another activity, much like work or driving. But for some reason, it seems to be once you see that light come on your phone or tablet, it's like you have a chance to escape into something that is not your reality. That is also true. Like a lot of people come, like when they get to dinner time, when they get, it's like they're trying to breathe, right? So we live in a very communication filled world now, where before people would go to work and then they would be kind of sectioned off, and then they'd long for human connection, you know. So they'd go out, they'd make plans, they want to have all these adventures and stuff, and there are a lot of people who still have that. But what tends to happen is if you work in a high stress environment, some people deal with their stress by talking, other people deal with their stress by vegging completely out, but their veg out time is inconvenient a lot of the time for other people. You know, like because my wife, she deals with her stress by talking and vegging out. Now, how she does these things at the same time sometimes confuses and baffles.
An anomaly.
Because she will be playing this repetitive game on her phone while telling me about her day and wants me to listen. But then every other couple of seconds, I hear the spinning wheel and the ding, 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 you know. But it's like it's setting a rhythm for her discussion. Right. But I recognize that this is how she deflates from a stressful day. You know, for me, it's listening to music or, you know, because I promise you guys, if I'm not life coaching or if I'm not doing the show, I'm pretty quiet. You know, I don't really have to talk much because I don't need, you know, people. It's funny how people say I talk a lot, but I really don't need conversation for me to feel like I'm part of something. Because I'm used to hanging out in the background a lot. So, but it's kind of one of those things that, like some of my friends discovered recently, when you can't see everything, you feel disconnected from a lot of things anyway. So shutting down and going within yourself is a lot easier. And it's not, doesn't mean that you're depressed or that things are bad for you. It just means that you're just not, you don't feel like you're a part of stuff. So I used to be a lot more like that. So being by myself, I'm as good by myself as I am in that group, you know, so to speak. So somebody put, oh, how depressing. No. That was what my reality was. So hanging out in the background was just kind of my thing. So, the thing is when a lot of people now, when they're at the table, they're using that time because you feel comfortable with that person. You don't feel comfortable with the people at work. You know you got to talk to them. You got to interact with them. You got to listen to your boss. You can't just nod off when your boss is talking. You know, you want to, but you can't. You know, you can't just pull your phone out and start playing a game when your boss is talking because you respect that person because they pay you to pay attention to them, right? So then you go back to, let's talk about a marriage. So you go home. And you already know you're going to see this person when you get up. You know you're going to see them or hear from them sometime during the day, or you're definitely going to see them when you get home, right? So what happens is you're like, you take it for granted that, you already know everything there is to know about me. And if something was going to change, I'll talk to you about it. But if nothing's changed, then why I talk about it? Let me just have my time, you know, type thing. Now, the flip side to that, okay, I can't even say this is a sex-oriented thing because I have guys and girls saying, exactly. Well, yeah, got it. But then when the spouse goes on a trip, goes to hang out with friends or is gone for, you know, like 2-3 days, all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, I wish I had somebody here to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when the person was there, you didn't really need to talk to them. But I think there's more of a sense now, as long as you're here, I'm good. we don't have to talk because you know me. You know everything there is to know about me because we're friends on Facebook. And so anything I'm thinking, you're going to see on Facebook or you're going to hear it from me at some point. But, you know, we don't have to actually have a conversation about it. You know,
that's what I'm saying. It's like people now would rather put up what they're feeling to a media device
mm-hmm.
than actually talk one-on-one to somebody, an actual human being, face-to-face. And
it's true.
There are times when like somebody's going through something, let's say, like, you know, we've had this all the time with between my friends and or family members and whatever, like, you know, when somebody loses a parent or something tragic happens, their dog died, somebody lost their job, whatever, you don't necessarily have to talk. You
mm-hmm.
just need to be there. Right. And that's how you support. Some people don't want to talk. They just want to know that you support them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just, even if you're just sitting there, even if you are eating, you know, hot dogs together or ice cream or some kind of comfort food or doing nothing or just watching a movie. Yeah, it's the presence of the other person being there. Definitely it does a lot. And so that I understand. But to me, when this whole thing came up about the dinner table and people, everybody on their own media device,
uh-huh.
it creates, I saw a thing on, I forget where I saw it, but it depicted a couple sitting on a couch. One person is on the phone and the other person is trying to talk to them. But because one person is on the phone playing, I don't know, watching something or playing video games or whatever, there's a wall that happens
mm-hmm.
In between. Whether you feel it or not, there's a wall that is created because there's something blocking the communication from happening or actually being progressive. There are many times when I talk to somebody and they're on their phone doing something else and they don't hear everything that I say. Granted, it's not that even if they didn't have it, it's not 100% they're going to hear everything that I say anyway. True. but it creates a more difficult situation when you are trying to focus, because not everybody is like D and can focus on five things at the same time. Some people get distracted. I can think of several people in my head right now when I say this. I say something and I have to repeat myself, you know, so many more times after because they weren't listening. They heard what I was saying, but they weren't listening, you know.
Right.
And I think that's what happens all the time nowadays. And I don't know how
you judge when you got somebody's attention is when they actually, like, so there's this thing that I was talking to a couple of colleagues about recently about, is your conversation worthy of me turning off my device or putting it down?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's how they judge it. Because if it starts off similar to something I've heard you say before, then I already anticipate what you're going to say. So there's no need in me putting it down. It's just the same old stuff. So people are always looking for the new. So they're not getting the quality because they're waiting for the new thing to talk about, the new adventure, the new whatever, because anything that has been said more than three times is old and there's no sense in talking about it or dealing with it. You know, so it's kind of before, you know, devices took over everything, this happened with men in the newspaper and their wives talking about something going on, you know, with the kids or something going on with the school or something going on. You know, everybody will find a way to get distracted. And usually, you know, and my argument when I was talking to my colleagues was people can blame technology. We can blame social media, blah, blah. And true, social media, you know, does eat up a lot of time. People check their Facebooks and they check their Twitters and they check their Instagrams way more than they need to, you know, than they realize they do. But they do it because they're looking for something. They're looking for the transition. This is their commercial break in their day, you know. So they do it because this is how they wipe whatever what's going on in their mind out so they can start new. This is how they do that. People used to read newspapers or go smoke a cigar or go do things to do that. Now, you know, because you can't smoke anywhere, you know, and nobody has a newspaper anymore, you know, so people are going to find anything they can do to kind of get that one moment of, let me turn the channel. But you really can't. So my thing when I talk to them was you really can't blame technology, you know, more so than they made it easier for people to do it. because people have been doing this forever. And everybody's always had the same thing. When it's interesting, like if somebody says, oh, by the way, we got a check in the mail for $500 out of the blue, the paper goes down, the phone turns off, you know, like, because it's like, hey, that's interesting. What happened there? You know, well, oh yeah, well, I just happened to, so people have this way of rating your conversation now, because everything has a rating system. And I said, and before it was just the husbands in the paper. And then anytime they wanted you to stop talking, they just, you know, make the paper go pop, you know, real quick, you know, as opposed to in the slow turn, they go pop and straight it out, because it would shock the person into being quiet. And
oh, that would irritate the hell out of me.
Yeah, but of course it would.
Oh, that just pissed me off.
Yeah, okay. but that's how you do it. Like when you find things. So if people don't want to listen to what you have to say, instead of their game being quiet, they turn it up a little bit when you're not looking, so that the noise kind of cancels you out. You know, I see it, and when you sit and you study, you watch people do this, you're like, wow, that was interesting. Or they'll put the one earbud in and they'll turn it up so that you don't hear it, but it blocks you out, so they'll only listen enough to know that you're still talking and pick up on certain words, but it's not the focus, because whatever you're saying is not worth the time.
That's terrible.
You know, but it was me and another woman who were looking at, you know, our patterns and how we use our phones and how we do stuff. And we were looking at, I was intrigued to find out how much, like, women have their thing that they'll do with their phones. Men have their things, and then everybody has their games, you know, but everybody has this little trick on how to get around listening to the person because they're tired of listening to them, you know, and there is a time and there is a thing where you can listen too much, where every time the person talks, it makes you mad, you know? So you do need a break from things, because not every conversation, and I will say this to you people who believe that you have to talk until something happens, right? There are times when not everything has to be a long drug out conversation until you get the result you're looking for, because sometimes you just need to understand that people need to get to a place where they can hear you, you know, and it may not be convenient all the time, but sometimes you have to understand, I'm not going to get through to them talking to them about this today, but I can't stay, but I'm not going to get mad at them because I couldn't talk about it today. I'm going to understand that they probably had a day that's getting in the way of what we're trying to have happen today, you know? So, but it takes a lot of,
that's paying attention to your partner.
Oh no! That is high. That's not even on the requirements list for a lot of people nowadays. Oh no!
Hey, that's terrible.
So, okay. So one of the things So what I told the person when they said, how do I define a healthy relationship?" I said, "Relationships grow, they change, and they evolve. And the thing is that they go from two individuals who they are." And they merge into one entity that takes the best of both sides. The good, you know, because and they still move forward. They move forward, understand that the best are up front, but they still have some parts that they, you know, that they're working on. There's constant improvement, it's constant growth, a constant battle, you know. And I said, but here's the thing. This is how I know when people are in a. I'm not going to say that they're always happy. I'm not going to say that things are always going their way, but they're always encouraging each other. They're always pushing each other toward the goal that they, because they believe in each other. And what happens is a lot of times people are together, but they don't believe in their spouse. They don't believe because, but I recently had a client, and I asked that, I said, you may love the person, but do you believe in the person? Yes or no? Well, what does that mean? Well, love has such a loose translation nowadays. So I'm just going to say that according to your definition of how you love the person, but do you believe in them? Do you trust them? Well, you know, I believe that you have to grow into trusting somebody. You're going to grow into that before or after you decide whether or not you believe in them. because let's be frank. I said, why would you get on a team with somebody who doesn't believe that you can help them win the game? He said, oh, now you're talking my language. I said, oh, no. I said, but if nobody believed that you were going to be useful, would you join the team? if they didn't trust you to be able to carry that ball when somebody's hurt, or even get close, or at least get them a couple yards closer to the goal, you know, would you join that team? Would you work with those people? Well, no, I wouldn't do that. So then why would you do that in a relationship? Why would you say, I love the person, but I just don't, I don't believe in them. I don't believe that they're going to be able to do, I don't believe that they're ever going to be faithful to me. I don't believe they're going to be, but how are you going to love somebody that you have no belief, you don't believe in them? How's that going to work? You know? And he's like, so what you're saying is I probably shouldn't propose this weekend. I said, you're a good guy, but you got to be real with how you see your stuff, how you see your situation, because you do not want to have such a major explosion that it wrecks everything that you guys have already built. I said, you don't believe in her yet. You don't even, there's so much with it, but until you believe in the person that you're trying to spend your life with, you're not going to really have the capability or capacity to trust them enough to have your back and to weigh you higher than everything else. Because you already don't think that you come first. So now you're going to put her in a chokehold to hold her close to you. You're going to lose her. Or, well, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to lose her because you don't, because you have this whole trust issue, you know, thing. Or everything about her is going to change. And you're going to find that you don't even like the person she's become, because the one you were attracted to is gone.
Wait, what do you mean everything about her is going to change? Why?
Because basically, if she works really hard to become what he pictures her to be, then she's going to lose a lot of herself in that process. But everybody does this, you know, on some level. People usually only do it, though, when they're dating. You know, let me hide this. I'm not going to fart in front of the person. I'm going to just be, you know I eat like a pig, but today I'm a queen. You know, like that. You know, like people change things about themselves to be liked, right? But so to sustain that, this is why people get so tired, you know, because they can't get back to being themselves. They have to maintain the image. That's how I was in my other relationship. I was so doggone tired, right? Because I spent so much time trying to make her happy and trying to keep her that I lost myself in that process. That's how come when I met my wife, I told her straight up, this is me. This is how I am. This is who you're going to get. I understand that there's growth, there's compromise, there's change. But the essence of me is this. I'm funny. I dance on top of walls. I love to spin. You know, like I believe there's hope for people, but I used to have a bad temper. Like I just laid it out there. I have a hard time trusting certain situations because I've been attacked and I've been stabbed. So, you know, I have reasons for these things. But for you, I will work on it. I will, you know, whatever. But this is who I am. So then she tried to change for me. I said, don't change for me. You know, because she used to think, but you're so good at this. She tried changing so much for me that I didn't want to be around her. I said, no, don't put me on that kind of pedestal. Don't do that to yourself. We can grow together. We can both, you know, and that's how can we always use this as our example, but we can both aim for God together. And we'll be like a triangle. And the more we reach for God, the closer we will become. Because we're going to go through stuff. Yeah, I know, but everybody knows that. But if we keep reaching for God together, even when we have our falling outs or whatever, we're going to make it. We're going to get there. But be who you are, because that way I know when growth happens. If you keep trying to change to become who I want you to be or who you think I want you to be, what's going to end up happening is you're not going to be – we're never going to recognize when you grow.
Well, not just that. You're never going to recognize if you're being real.
Yeah. So like I told him, I said, look, the thing is she's going to change so much, you're not going to recognize her, and she's not going to be the girl you fell in love with. The thing is, people always say, I don't like it when you do this. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the day, they're like, you're just not the same anymore. Well, doggone it. Of course not. You know? What do you expect? Something just changed about them. I don't know why we just aren't as exciting as we used to be. Yeah, because in trying to make you happy, everybody's like that ultimately, for one of the clients I have, that ultimately was his problem, was he would try to change for every girl he met because he felt like in order to get what he wanted out of a situation, he had to become whatever he pictured she wanted.
Oh, I know people like that very well.
I said, so I almost said his name. I said, so basically I said, dude, so you're not saying what you really want to say. you're not, you know, well, I like to laugh, D, but she didn't like laugh. She didn't like when people laugh like that. Laugh, man. You have a odd sense of humor, but you like to laugh. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may not always say the things that you should be saying, but you like to laugh. Don't let anybody take your laugh from you. If anything, you might curve how you say things a little bit, but you don't have to, you know, stop laughing because she doesn't laugh. You know, it's like, don't let somebody take your fire out. Because, like I told him, this was like a couple weeks ago, I told him, I said, look, even God doesn't put out a smoldering reed. Why would somebody else tell you to put your fire out? He said, I never thought about it like that. I said, no, God breathes life into that fire because he's going to use it for his glory. Why would you let anybody take out that fire? I said, if my wife lost her fire, I would not, because my wife has a passion for teaching and she loves to work with people. She's very helpful, but her family tried to tell her to stop helping people because it makes her look like a traditional Mexican.
What?
Yep. Don't serve your husband. Don't do that for him. He should be doing that for you because you're not just some Mexican woman. You were born here. Wait.
What the heck?
You know what I'm saying? She turned around and she shocked me that she said, no, I enjoy serving my husband. I don't have to. I choose to. I like doing that for him because he does so much for me. You know, but she has a fire for it. So, you know, like I might be goofy. I might be loud sometimes. My wife is definitely loud sometimes. She can't whisper. Yeah, she can't whisper. Whisper is not in her vocabulary. So, but I've learned that that's part of who she is. I may not always like the fact that everything she says echoes across every place we are. But if that's all I have to deal with, you know, fine. I've learned how to choose the conversations for the location. No problem. But if that's it, that's no problem because that's still the fire that's in her. I love that little bit of fire. But the moment that she tried to get rid of it, she just was not the same. And to be honest, even her best friend didn't even want to be around her because she was trying so hard to change that she was pushing everybody else away. So I said, no. I said, that's not how we're going to do it. If you want to be with me, be you. Because God said to come to him in spirit and in truth. Be who you are and let him change you. Don't change so quickly and so much that you lose yourself in the process. Because at least when God changes you, you start to actually, you actually recognize the transition. You're not as tired. You may be a little beat up because, you know, that pride thing ain't no picnic. But you, but for some reason, you feel better about yourself than you do when you're actually all that time trying to do it yourself. You know, because at the end of the day, we don't have the strength to do it on our own. It takes God to do it. Mm-hmm. So when we sit there and we try to make those changes on our own, we wear ourselves out. And then one day, we're going to explode. And we're gonna pick the wrong day to do it.
That's the wrong person.
Yep, at the wrong person. And sometimes it's the wrong right person in your mind, but it's the wrong day for it. You know? So, yes, you can download the show. Sorry we didn't get, you know, we really didn't get to the
top
10 countdown. But you know what, y'all? I feel like this was necessary tonight, you know, to be quite honest, because there's a lot of stuff that people are just feeling like, I'm supposed to be this. I'm supposed to be that. No, you're supposed to be you. And then allow God to come into your relationship and change it into what he has called it to be. But if you start trying to change it before God gets a hold of it, chances are you're going to jack it up thinking you're doing the right thing. You know, Tony said, how do you know when God's changing you? Well, first off, it'll line up with his word. You know, that because he's got a whole bunch of things that he says, I've called you to be this. That's why God says, and I will. He says, all I want you to do is obey my word. Because when you obey my word, you'll line up with the I will, with his will for your life. Most definitely. But what tends to happen is we get so caught up in looking at the needs of the other person that we forget about our own. And when we forget about our own needs, we start changing and living our life for that other person. When you get married, if you start living for the other person and not for yourself included in that little equation, you lose what God put together. You start losing that because he put you together for a reason. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, we don't need that part. Like my mom said, she said, I used to have a mouth on me that would I could cuss and I would fry things up and it never and she said, you know, I can't cook, but I was frying up some stuff with the way I was talking. And she said, but then one day God came in and changed my speech, but didn't tell me to talk less. He said, I have that same passion, that same, you know, I may have grown in my way I talk. I may have grown in this, that, and the other. She said, but I'm still from the same area I was from when I used to talk like I talk. So that attitude didn't leave. The language changed. The believing that I was right, you know, and moving for what I believed in and speaking up for what I believed in, that didn't change. Just how I talked about those things I believed in and the way I motivate people, that's what changed. So when you think that that little fire that you have, whatever it may be, whether you like to cook or maybe you like to clean, maybe you like to do this, that, the other, don't let nobody steal that from you just because they think it's demeaning or beneath you. What? It makes you look like someone that they don't want you to look like. What? My mama had a, my mama gave a speech. I feel like she was preaching, but she was really just giving us a speech on the stupidity of the people that we tend to hold on to. You know, I don't like the fact that God uses you this way, so stop it. I don't like that, so stop it. What? No, this is who I was when you met me and you liked me then. What has changed? But I have this thing I always tell people, do you know you? I said to my wife all the time, baby, do you know you? She's like, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then we're going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And I can do it. So do you know you? Are you listening to you right now? You are not going to do any of those things. You're going to go home. You're going to take your shoes off. And then immediately you'll be like, whoo, you're going to sit on the couch and realize how tired you really are. That's why we're going to get this fast food over here real quick on the way home. Oh, no, I tell you I'm going to do it. I said, okay, go. Okay, cool.
We'll see.
She sits down. Exactly what I said is going to happen. Happens. I said, baby, you were right. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to walk next door and get us some fast food real quick. I said, I didn't take my shoes off because I knew what was getting ready to happen. So, but yeah, guys, it's like, look, first off, there are plenty of, that's a good question. So there's a Bible app, okay, that you can get. It's very common. Almost everybody I see on YouTube actually has it on their phone. But there's a great Bible app. It just says Bible, but it's the one with the brown cover, and it has many translations in it, right?
YouVersion.
Yeah, YouVersion. Yeah, YouVersion.
Yeah.
And what I would suggest is, because they actually do have studies, and they do have studies in there on relationships, since you guys want to know about it, then they do have things that you can read with your spouse or your boyfriend or whatever, and you guys can kind of talk about how you feel about these things and how you can apply these things, because a lot of times we hear a lot, but we don't know how to apply. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you have enough, if you have enough people in your situation telling you how to apply something, you're going to mess it all up. So sometimes you got to sit back and talk to the one you're with and say, now, how can we apply this? Because at the end of the day, I told my wife this way, and then I ended on this. I told her even when I don't like the decisions you make, I trust you. And the only reason is because to not trust you would be to not trust the one that put us together. So I have to trust God. So I have to trust that no matter what happens at the end of the day, it's going to be all right with us too. I feel like I say, so good night and love. I feel like that was some crazy ending. So, but you guys, you know, learn to look at each other, learn to respect each other, learn to love each other, and be good to each other. And if you guys want to talk more, there's a couple ways you can get a hold of us. Jules?
Yes. Find us on Twitter @intermix_show, on Instagram @intermix360, and on Facebook, type in Intermix, or just go to our website, intermix360.com, intermix360.com, and you can find any of those and all of those on there.
There you go.
That's it.
So, yeah. So, anyway, guys, we love you. Thanks for being such great fans, such great supporters. And, yes, the store is coming. We got you. Don't even worry about that. Working on that actually right now. So have a great night. Anything else you want to say, Jules?
See you next week, 9 p.m., Monday night. Good night.
And if you're going to type to us, don't do it during dinner. Jules will get you.
Nope.